The Resounding Victory. A Catholic priest lived in the village where Reb Wolf had settled. The priest was obsessed with one goal, to force the Jews of the town to convert to Christianity. He knew that if he encouraged the Jews directly to abandon their faith, they would raise a great outcry and would never agree. Instead, he went about his plans with cunning and trickery. For many months, the priest did everything to win over the Jewish people of the village. From time to time, he gathered all the people of the town, Jews and non-Jews alike, in the center of the marketplace, and preached enthusiastically about love and friendship among people of all faiths. "In truth," he said, "there is nothing that divides us. We are all human beings, sons of the Creator. Why? Even the person we Christians revere was a Jewish man." The Jews of the village were mostly poor and ignorant people. They were pleased that the priests treated them with kindness and respect. Also, his speeches in the marketplace had a positive effect on the non-Jews of the village. They too showed greater friendship towards their Jewish neighbors. But one day, the speeches of the priest took a different turn. He began to pressure the Jews to take one more step in the right direction in order to forge love and friendship between people of all faiths. At first, he spoke in hints. "It's a suggestion from the heart to our brothers the Jews." But day by day, his message became clearer. The pleasant smile left his lips. His eyes glittered with a fanatic fire. He stopped all his false friendliness. He demanded that all the Jews must convert immediately. The Jews of the village may have been simple and ignorant, but they had absolutely no intention of abandoning their faith, chas v'shalom. Now that they understood what the priest was trying to achieve, they avoided the meetings in the marketplace. The priest, however, was not prepared to give up on his prey. One way or another, he was determined to convert the Jews. One day, the priest announced that on the following Sunday, there would be a mandatory meeting in the marketplace for all the people of the village without exception. A deep fear filled the hearts of the Jews. They did not know what the priest planned, but understood that great trouble awaited them. Afraid to disobey, the Jews gathered on the following Sunday in the marketplace. A stage had been set up in the center of the square. A path opened, and the priest strode towards the stage. His eyes scanned the crowd. He smiled with satisfaction when he saw the Jews among the audience. "We are gathered here to decide the most important question of our lives," the priest began solemnly. "The question is, what is our goal and purpose in this world?" He then began to pronounce a long list of proofs for the truth of his religion. He claimed to find support in psukim of our holy Nevi'im, totally misquoting the words and twisting the meaning of the verses. He claimed that he and his fellow priests received revelation from above. He insisted that he was doing all this for the good of the Jews and the good of the whole world. Silence greeted his speech. The tension in the square could be cut with a knife. Suddenly, the priest smiled benevolently as one assured of victory. "And if there is any of you," he said, looking directly at the frightened group of Jews, "anyone who wishes to challenge my proofs, I invite him to step up and do so right now." The poor Jews of the village stood crushed and humiliated. Not one of them dared to stand up to the priest or to debate with him, nor did they have the knowledge to respond to his proofs. Suddenly, a voice rang out from the crowd. "I will answer." All eyes turned to the speaker. They were shocked to realize that it was the shoemaker, Wolfke Dobry, the good wolf, as the non-Jewish villagers called him. The priest gazed at the shoemaker in astonishment. He knew all the villagers, including Wolf, and actually had a pair of shoes repaired by him. as far as he was aware. Wolf was good at nailing together the heel of a shoe, or gluing together a torn sole. But what could the uneducated Jewish peasant possibly know about religion? Such an ignorant Jew could only make a fool out of himself and the Jewish religion, helping him to pressure the Jews to convert. With a superior smile, the priest announced, "Very good, I invite the Jewish shoemaker to represent his brothers and their religion." Reb Wolf walked confidently up to the stage. He began to speak, surprising his audience once again. Reb Wolf spoke in fluent and perfect Polish. He began with a short summary of Jewish history, describing how Hashem revealed himself on Har Sinai and gave the Jewish people the Torah. 1,500 years later, he continued, a group broke off and established a new religion. He demonstrated that Christianity had simply twisted and changed the Jewish religion. He then quoted the very psukim the priest used, showing they had been jumbled and misquoted. He explained their true meaning. In the end, he mocked the godly revelation the priest claimed. Reb Wolf's rejection of each argument made a tremendous impact on the crowd. He had spoken so clearly, so convincingly. Every word had a ring of truth. Even more amazing, they were spoken by a shoemaker. The priest turned white with shock. He glanced around in confusion. Then, without another word, he turned and left the square more embarrassed than he had ever been in his life. The Jewish villagers rushed over to Reb Wolf, shaking his hand warmly, thanking him for saving them and for giving them back their dignity and confidence as Jews. They realized that Reb Wolf was a truly special person. Their non-Jewish neighbors, on the other hand, felt defeated. By evening of that day, Reb Wolf realized that he had to leave his new home and set out in search of a new place where he could once again become Wolf, the simple shoemaker.